resentment toward Peter or what have you if he didn't do so-and-so. I tried to justify everything he told me to put down on that list. I tried to justify my wrong attitudes. And there was his finger. He did not relieve the pressure a bit until I quit trying to justify wrong attitudes. Giving reasons and excuses to God, well, I wouldn't be like this, God, if it wasn't for so-and-so. Well, you're not going to get the pressure released. You're not going to get the joy and the peace that God wants to be yours. It'll never be real as long as you justify the reason you feel toward people like you do. Okay? So I had to just admit that this was unrighteous. And you know when I did, when I dealt with it as sin like it really was, and the fears, you know, some way I'd excuse fears. I thought, well, fear is just a weakness. You know what God showed me? Fear is a big black sin. There's nothing more sinful than not trusting God. And any area where fear is, there is not trust in that area. I didn't know that. Nobody ever told me that. But God told me that. And if you think about it, it's true. And then you know what he led me to do? He led me to find Bible verses about fear that showed me that I didn't have to put up with fear at all. I didn't have to put up with fear. As a matter of fact, he gave me the most precious verse that I didn't know was there. In the scripture one morning, I found 2 Timothy 1:7. What a view. Well, this verse, God just reconstructed my life and gave me a new stability, a new confidence that showed me that verse. If you're not familiar with it, let me quote it to you. I get so excited every time I quote that verse. I can hardly act normal. It says something like this. I have not given you the spirit of fear. I didn't know that God didn't have anything to do with the fears in my life. He says, I didn't give you that spirit. Well, where did it come from? From the devil himself. But the Lord says, I didn't give you fear, but this is what I give you. Power. Power over that fear. I don't care what fear it is. It doesn't say fear of the dark. Or fear of somebody attacking you. It said fear of failure, fear of a lack of approval, fear, any kind of fear that is tormenting and dominating and making you uncomfortable, keeping you from being at perfect peace and knowing peace in your life. Whatever that fear is, I didn't give you that. You don't have to put up with that. I'll give you power over that fear. Three things God gives us in the place of it. Power, love. How many times our fears relate to people. And you, God's love cannot flow unhindered between you and that person that fear is involved with. Because you'll notice it affects your relationship if you're fearful of someone. Okay. God says, I give you power over that fear, love, and a sound mind or clear thinking. And if any of you, there must be somebody here that has, maybe might be able to relate to this, because I didn't really plan to go into this in detail. But if there is someone that has ever had problems with fears, let me share with you what the Lord told me about that verse. He said, you don't have to put up with fear. So this is the way I use it. I work a Bible verse. That's what it's there for. They're God's ways, principles to work in our lives so we can live as he wants us to live. Okay. The way I work this verse, when I become aware A lot of times it'll show up in the back of my neck. I'll find myself getting up tight. You ever get up tight? Okay. I find myself getting tense. And I'll think, well, okay, Lord, what's prompting this? What's causing this? And I'll find out that I'm getting apprehensive. Maybe something's coming up I'm a little apprehensive about. Or I'm getting frustrated. I can't quite figure out what I'm going to do about something coming up. I'm getting worried. Do you know all of these are forms of fear? Every last one of these are lack of trust. Just when anytime you're in utter, complete trust, have an attitude of trusting God in a thing, frustration, worry, these things aren't present. Isn't it good to know? Now, you might at first react against me, and you might think, well, I don't believe that, or, you know. But it's wonderful to know we don't have to put up with these things. And you don't. God said you don't have to put up with them. Okay. So, the way I use this verse, and he taught me how 17 years ago. And, you know, I'm still using it today. If you could wear out a Bible verse, that one would be worn thin. Frayed at the edges, but it's just as good today as it was the first day I learned how to use it. That's beautiful. Okay, I find myself getting apprehensive, frustrated, worried, anxious. And I say, well, now, Lord, you said I didn't have to put up with this. That this isn't from you. So I address the Lord that way. And then I turn to the devil and I talk to the devil just like I talk to the Lord. Because the Bible tells us that we have authority over him. We don't have to put up with him in our lives. So I turn to him and I tell him, I say, now listen here, you go on and leave me alone about this thing. I don't have to put up with this. Jesus Christ took care of you way back out at the cross. And you are defeated and I stand with him in that victory over you in this very thing right now. Go and leave me alone. And then I turn back to the Lord. And I say, right now, Father, I'm just going to receive all the power I need over this fear. Thank you for that power. I receive all the love I need for this person that I was fearful of. Because I know they wouldn't be doing these things if they didn't have a problem, and they need your love. So just fill me up with love for them. And right now, I receive the sound mind or clear thinking I need. Because, you know, at times of fear and frustration, doesn't your mind kind of get in a ball, just a bundle of confusion, and you don't know really how to think? Is that the way it affects you? That's the way it affects me. So, but the Lord said I didn't have to be frustrated and confused. He'd give me a sound mind. So I just say, Lord, I receive from you right now a sound mind or clear thinking about this thing. And I thank you for it. And you know what I do? Usually I visualize. I'm real simple soul. And the Lord has to give me little visualizations, you know, for me to understand or relate to. And I can just see an hourglass that's just whirling with sand. And I just sit right there or stand right there, wherever I happen to be. And I just let the Lord settle all that sand. Then I can walk in peace. I don't have to be frustrated or apprehensive. I don't know. I really had no intentions of going into this. But maybe somebody will be able to use that one day. I hope so. Because you see, this was one of the verses after the nervous breakdown that God was able to use in establishing a life of peace and confidence. Like I said, I want to tell you this, though, before I go any further. When you learn a principle, don't be deceived into thinking you'll never need it again. The devil has so many subtle ways of tricking us. A lot of times we'll get a victory in an area, and we'll go along a little ways, and the next thing you know, that thing pops up again, and we think, well, I thought I had victory there. There must not have been anything to it. And the devil deceives us into taking that past victory away and just feeling discouraged about the whole thing. No, that's not true. When you learn a principle, then all that means is you know what to do when the situation comes up again. It doesn't mean the situation will never come up again. So just this past week, I found myself back of my neck getting a little tense, and I was beginning to get uptight because something was coming up, and I was a little apprehensive about it. So what did I do? I did just what I just got through showing you how I did. You principles are to be used. It doesn't matter what you know up here. What I learned 17 years ago did not keep me from having fear last week. But what I learned, I was able in the middle of that situation, take it from up here, choose to believe it in that situation, and it became real in that situation. Do you see what I'm saying? These principles, in a fine church like this, I'm sure you are taught so many, many truths. Well, just because you know them up here, that's just the storehouse for them. It doesn't mean you're defeated when the opportunity comes to use them. That's a trick of the devil. He deceives us that way. And we get discouraged. No, this storehouse of principles is just where we go when we need to apply these truths in given situations. So just take it out and choose to believe it then, and it becomes real right then. See what I'm saying? I know a lot of, what this is, it's temptation, like we heard about last night. Okay, the temptation for me to be fearful presents itself, so what am I going to do? I'm going to take the truths of God's Word and choose to believe them at that point of temptation or that point of resentment or whatever it might be, whatever your temptation might be, because these are fiery darts. And the devil knows very good and well where our weak spots are, and those are the places that he aims his fiery darts. So we just put up our armor. You need to learn one or two scripture verses in the areas of your weakest points. Now, whereas yours might be guilt, the devil might ride your back and beat you to death with guilt. Yeah, I don't know what your weak area is, but you're human. And you have some, so ask God to show you what they are if you're not aware of them. See, I was so dumb I didn't know what mine were. But he'll show you. So then when you find out what they are, learn a few scriptures. And then that's your armor that Ephesians tells us about. When the fiery darts of temptation come, then you just put up your armor. And you don't have to be afraid, because the word of the Lord is the sword. Now, after you raise your armor against the enemy, then you take the word and you defend yourself. And this way, God has provided for us to be able to walk in victory, you see. But it's a choice at each point of temptation, whether we're going to walk his way or we're going to do the best we can. And listen, the devil's been at this job a lot longer than we have. And he knows. Okay. So after the confessing and the cleansing, then the Lord showed me that I was ready for a brand new beginning. But I was empty and clean. You get the picture? After I confessed, I was empty and clean. So the Lord showed me, you start out like this and you'll just start putting the trash back in. I needed something something that I'd not understood. And it was in the next 2 or 3 days, God in His mercy, my mother-in-law said, "You want to go with me to a Bible conference?" Because they were having one and at that time, and I went with her. And I heard a man say something that I'd never heard before. Now, you have heard this truth. I'm sure you have, but I'd never heard it before, and I didn't know anybody that had. He said, "Did you know when you invited Christ into your life, all of Him came in?" That sounded strange to me. He said, He did not leave one quality outside of Him. Jesus Christ, He didn't leave any quality outside of Him that He didn't bring inside with Him when He came. Which means there is available to you, when you have Christ living in you, whatever deficiency you have, because Jesus is complete, you know? I mean, he's got it. Whatever you need, He's there. And I thought, I sat there, and when I got to thinking about that, I didn't know whether I believed it or not. I said, "Lord, I don't know if I believe that or not. But if it's true, would You teach it to me?" Now, the confession, getting honest and letting God show you the truth, that confession is taking care of the negative side of the issue. But there's a positive side. And so I'll just briefly share with you how I came to find out this truth was real. I did say, "God, I don't know if I believe that having Jesus in me means I've got all Jesus had." That just kind of blew my mind, you know. And but if you want me to understand that's true, you teach it to me. And so going back home from this time of recuperation and all, one Sunday morning I was getting the children ready to go to Sunday school. Now, we had two worship services with Sunday school in between and one car, so I'd dash Peter down to the church and I'd run back home and I was getting the two little kids ready for Sunday school. And I got Susan ready and went to get Richard ready, and she'd lost a shoe. And we found her shoe, and I got her shoe on her. And he'd popped a button, you know, that kind of morning, you know. I don't remember the exact details. It's just the picture that you get, getting two little ones ready. Okay, here I was beginning to get uptight. But I justified it. I said, "Now, Lord, I know that You don't want a Sunday school teacher getting to church late and go bungling in late." That made it all right for me to get uptight. No, it didn't, but I was in my mind that that's what I was doing. But you see, God was trying to teach me this principle that in everyday living that I'd heard. Just hearing it does not make it yours. You have to take what you hear and apply it to a situation. Hearing it does not make it yours. Memorizing the scripture does not make it yours until you use what you know in a situation. Now, I'm repeating, but too many times we don't understand that. Okay, so before I knew it, I had screamed out at those two little kids. Well, it just kind of made me sick on my stomach when I heard my scream out at those kids, you know. I remember just leaning on the kitchen counter and saying something like this, "Lord, look what a mess I made out of this morning. Just look." Now, that preacher said that when I invited you into my life, all of you came in. Now, if you really want me to live with that understanding, I need to make a little experiment this morning. I'm going to step over here, and I'd like to see how you'd handle the mess I've made. And so in my mind's eye, I stepped to the side, and I turned this Jesus loose in me, if He really was in me, to handle the situation, the mess I'd made. Can you guess what happened? He did such a beautiful job of handling the mess I made that morning. Till on my way home from church, I was so excited, I thought, oh, Lord, I can't wait to make some more experiments. Because I tell you, there were a lot of other areas I needed to see how he'd handle them. Because I just kept messing up. I found out soon, it didn't take many experiments to know that what really happened that morning when I stepped aside and turned him loose, I really just stepped onto a whole plane of living I didn't even know existed. Because you see, that is his provision. He didn't just come into my life and cleanse me of my sins so when I died I'd go to heaven. And all in between, when I needed help desperately, I'd pray up to him and he'd hand me down that help I needed. But he came to live in me because he understood that I couldn't cope. I couldn't handle the things I'd be facing in life. And in his love, he provided a way that this could be real and that I could walk in victory. I could walk above the circumstances. The circumstances didn't have to get me down. He provided that in Jesus. And when I invited Jesus in, these things became really mine because he was mine. I didn't know for a long time that what, you know, doctrinally or theologically what happened. But I've come to see that what really happened according to the scripture, see, that was my ignorance. But according to the scripture, when I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to get out of the way, what I was saying was, okay, Lord, I die to my way of handling this. I'm dying to Johnny right now. And I'm turning you loose. I didn't know that what happened was I was dying to myself and letting the Holy Spirit fill me with himself. But this is technically what happened. And when it says that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what it's talking about. Letting him first empty us of ourselves, all these things, the me, that are making life miserable inside for me. You see, he loves us. And these things I hang on to so desperately of myself, those were the very things that were giving me the troubles I was having inside, keeping me from peace in the midst of situations. That's what he provides, you see. Well, our time's about up. I had hoped to share with you some of the ways that I found that practical ways for turning him loose and letting him handle some of those weak spots. He had to teach me how to let his love loose. He had to teach me how to let him think his thoughts through my mind. So, you see, I had a lot of kinks up there that he's had to straighten out. You find that in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it says, by the renewing, making new your mind processes, your thinking processes, he's had to straighten out some of those kinks up there. And he's still doing it. That's the beautiful thing. I don't have to tell you about what God did 17 years ago and stop there. He's still unkinking gnarled thought patterns that are limiting God in my life. That's what's so wonderful about the Christian life. It doesn't matter what you already know. There's still more to learn. And every new experience is a fresh experience with him, and he becomes more precious to you today than he did yesterday. Because you've come to understand a little more how much he loves you, and in that love there's provision for everything you face. He is really sufficient for all your needs. That's not something just the preacher talks about or just a Bible verse, but that's real. That's what I want to just leave with you this morning. He really is sufficient. And I don't know what your situation is, but it doesn't matter. He does, and he's sufficient. Let's pray. Father, I just love you more now, just being able to recount some of the things that you've been able to teach me. Lord, I want to stay open. Because the more you teach me, the more I come to see what a wonderful God you really are. Father, I desire for each of these women a knowledge of how to walk in peace, unfrustrated, worried, apprehensive. I long for them to know the freedom that comes from getting out of the way and just turning you loose. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing. I never will understand why you were willing, but you willingly come to live in us in order that you might live through us. And Father, I thank you that it is to meet all my needs, but I've come to see that it's not just to meet my need. You have even a greater purpose in meeting my need, but it's that I might become a channel of that through which you can pour yourself out in this world that needs you so desperately. Right now, I would like to ask you to be willing to pray. And I'll give you just a minute to pray a prayer such as this. Lord, teach me how to be honest, show me what you see when you look at me, not what I think I am and not what other people think I am, but what do you see? And then fill this life of mine so you can live through me in this world that needs you so badly. Would you pray a prayer like that? I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to be afraid that you can't meet these ladies' needs. I thank you that you are indeed sufficient. May this be a daily reality when they choose to believe, when Satan's temptations come to worry or to resent or be guilty or jealous, whatever might be tormenting, whatever the fiery darts of Satan are, that they can choose to believe you are victor, and they can know the way of peace and daily living. Thank you, Lord. Amen.